Hey Edward, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. In our community, we had a question from Chris, and he was wondering what the most cost-effective way of logging is. So maybe we can jump into that later on and go first a bit over the history and how we logged in the past and stuff like that. But I think it was a good question. We touched it briefly in the previous podcast as well. But I think it's a good time to dedicate like an episode to it and see
Yep.
where it takes us. All right.
Logging metrics and tracing, I think
Yeah,
those are all
exactly.
related. Observability, that's what how we call it now
Yeah,
nowadays.
exactly.
I don't think we used to call it
No,
observability.
I think that's since the SRE book from
Ah, yeah.
Google.
From
It's,
Google.
didn't they switch
That's
the
possible.
naming maybe? Like I think
When
it
I
was
read it,
around
there
that
was
time as well.
also that's true, yeah. Yeah, I think when we started, we would just like have a you start a service and the service would output the file and then you would tail that
Yeah.
log file.
tailmin dash f and then see like what is happening, and that was our observability. That
And
pretty
then
much concluded it.
and then the next step was basically to actually have everything with journal CL, right? That's already an aggregation of
Yeah, in systemd,
one instance. So kind of that was the maybe the next step. And then the next step was, okay, now I have all my instances, my servers, but I don't want to have the logs all only locally. I want them have them all together, and then we use this Elk Stack,
yeah, to ship them.
Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana. Yeah, you would have the logs, something like Fluentd you would use, or alternatives. I think, well, maybe I used Fluentd a lot, and Fluentd is actually today still used by AWS, so you could all still put Fluentd, or I think they renamed it into something else. You had Fluentd, and then you have Fluentbit. So one of these services that just ingest the logs, send them somewhere. And then you need to centralize logging. So you would then kind of gather them all together in something like Elasticsearch. But it doesn't even need to be Elasticsearch, right? You could just
No.
kind of gather all the logs. And then you need to parse them. So parsing could be that you create indexes on them. For example, you would have the first word or after the date could be your environment, staging or prod. So you would have to create an index that you can easily like search your log files, maybe split them by dates because sometimes you want to go back one week, sometimes only one day. So yeah, Elasticsearch is a good fit for that. That's something that you
Absolutely.
easily use, and that's what we used in the past as well. Definitely when we were doing on-prem deployments, that's something useful to do. There's still I've seen still setups even today on the cloud with
Yeah,
with Elk
absolutely.
and with Elasticsearch. So it's not that it's completely gone, and that's why I also wanted to mention it.
No, absolutely. Because they also provided managed solution for it now, nowadays as well. So it becomes a lot less of a hassle to do it, like it was previously. Because you had when the you had to take care of the Elasticsearch itself as well, pretty good. Because like else, if something goes down and you can't find the logs anymore, most of the time it's a period that you find out that the Elasticsearch was not that well maintained and that some indices were missing and stuff like that. So that's good that they figured a way around that. But previously it was big mess to actually find logs as well. You ship them all to one place and then the format wasn't the same and then it was still like a mess. So there's a lot of progress being made since then.
Yeah, I remember like time that was not in sync, for example, was an issue.
Oh yeah, the NTP not be like not in the same time, and then you have to correlate that during an incident, and that gets tricky really fast, really quick. But since then,
Yeah, I think
AWS.
with if you then look at AWS, what they did is they created some kind of product that is super simple, like the basics, which is like CloudWatch logs. And it just came out. It's just the basics. Here you can put your logs, but actually, you are sure that it works. This is the difference with if you use Elasticsearch yourself. You don't have all the bells and whistles, but you're sure that it works.
And it's well integrated into the majority of the services as well. So it's easy to
So
have everything on one place. Also, it's cost effective. Like it's really cheap. It isn't that sexy at all. That's the downside of it, like querying it and stuff like that. It takes some
yeah,
time
so
to get used to it.
in the beginning you had nothing really to query it, and then they came with the insights which allows you to query, but just because it's not such a nice interface, that's why a lot of I see a lot of developers like CloudWatch Logs is okay, but not really what I want. I want something easier to use to ingest all my log files, application log files, and it needs to be easily searchable. And then they move away from CloudWatch Logs, and then go to the third parties, like something like Datadog or alternatives. And then it gets really expensive. I think we mentioned it also in our previous previous episodes that these services can get really expensive. But it is nicer, of course. But CloudWatch Logs, it is there. It's just the interface is not very nice. But it's the most I think the most cost-effective way is just to use that. And that's what we kind of also recommend to our customers, like just try to figure out what the queries are that you need, note them down somewhere, just copy paste them in there or save them or make a dashboard if you talk about metrics, just so you have everything. It's not the most tool indeed, but it works. And then like I said, it integrates with everything. So it just often has a lot of configuration necessary to ship your logs to an external provider compared to just say like, okay, just ship them to CloudWatch, and here is the CloudWatch log group where you have to ship them. So that's kind of also one of the differences. So yeah, where does the cost come from then, right?
Yep,
For
the
example,
custom metrics.
well, yeah. So yeah. So there's actually where does the cost come from if you still have a lot high CloudWatch bill. Where do the costs come from when you have high CloudWatch bill, even though you use Datadog, or how do you get a high Datadog bill? So these are actually multiple ways that you can get a high bill that we should go over, right? So the first one is indeed that you mentioned, custom metrics. So it's easy to create a custom metric, right? It's just like sometimes you just have to click a little bit. So, okay, I want to see just more metrics, because then if something goes wrong, I will be able to see the more granular level.
Oh,
But then we
exactly
see,
that, like 1 second, 5 minutes, like the aggregation of those things, also super expensive if you like have a high frequency metric, for example.
that's when we see indeed that the CloudWatch bill goes up for our customers when like you have custom metrics and also the dimensions you use, and like I don't see that they ingest quite a lot of data. So they say sometimes my customers say let's do a metric, custom metric, but by customer. Okay, we have 10,000 customers. Now we're gonna ingest like a data point for those 10,000 customers, and then it just quickly gets expensive. And then indeed, if it's just to see at that point, I wouldn't use the CloudWatch for that. I wouldn't use Datadog for that. I would keep those tools really for developers, infrastructure. You don't want to use them for business people to see any metrics.
No business insights. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
There's definitely like other tools for that. You have data available in something like MySQL or Postgres, like a database often, or just S3 or DynamoDB, and you can query it. It's an S3, you can query it with Athena. And then like indeed, if business people need to see it, then you just need to go to analytics tools. I think the mistake is that if you start using these infrastructure tools for the business sides to show analytics, then it's just not meant for that. And then you get a very high bill, because you're trying to do it, use it like that. Because you should, at that point, when it's just analytics, you should ca try to pay only when you want to view something, right?
Yep.
So then you can pay for the compute when you're looking at your graph. For example, you open Power BI or you open this quick sites from AWS, and then you kind of want to pay when you want to see something, not really pay upfront, just in the future you want to maybe see something. So you can do this compute like with Athena or other ones, like Power BI also does ODBC, JDBC to connect to your data sources. So you just would store that data in your data sources, and then query it when necessary, and then you just kind of pay for an instance up and running, or like have compute, but not really use something like CloudWatch or Datadog, I would say.
No, true. Another classic one is log level equals
Yeah.
debug.
Yeah, indeed.
I
Yeah,
send
and often like, yeah.
terabytes and gigabytes of data to CloudWatch. Yeah, that can be expensive as well. But
Yeah, when
classic
I
one.
start to use something like Envoy, I find like a really interesting flag in Envoy that is just at runtime they have a management interface, and at runtime you can then change the log levels. So often when you have like an app, you have to pass like the log level when the app starts. But a much better approach I find after seeing how Envoy does it so many years ago is actually make like a lot of applications already have a management interface, and even something like Spring has a management interface, and then you can for sure change it there as well. But just like when you implement your own logging, just make sure that you can change it at runtime so that you have like a management interface, and then you can do like a post request on certain API, and then just toggle it, because you can just by default when the app starts make sure it's on error, and then when you have an issue that you need to debug, then you go to debug or tracing.
Yeah,
And
without
even then, when
restarting the
you,
application, yeah.
yeah, exactly, without restarting application, without doing a deployment, just putting on debug, don't allow people to kind of set the environment variable to anything else than error,
Yeah.
because you can change the runtime, but if you then forget to put it off and the application scales, or then gets you get a deployment, it goes again to error. But if you forget, and this happens so many times, it's like forget to shut down an instance, right? You change a flag, you deploy the service again, it's on debug, and then you never change it anymore because you forgot about it. And then at the end of the month, you get a big bill. Maybe it takes another month to figure out
Where
like
is
why you
this
had this
coming
big
from?
bill, you know, where it's coming
Yeah.
from. And then like 2 or 3 months later, you're like, oh, we just wasted like so many thousands of dollars in debug mode, and nobody ever looked at the logs. That's so classic. Yeah. So there are definitely solutions
Yeah,
to
definitely.
that's fine.
But like but for the most cost-effective way, yeah, it's hard to find like the best solution, right? But like in the AWS ecosystems, it goes for the majority of the services. Like if they offer it to you managed as well, probably it will be a better price point than building a whole stack, Alex stack, for example, yourself, and deploying it that way. So I think to like answer the question, what the most cost-effective way is, this will probably be CloudWatch, I think.
But also I
With
think
decent retention policies as well. Also,
you also need the retention policies.
do not keep it like everything forever. You don't need it. It's not needed.
I think it's probably worth mentioning that we also are looking into a solution. So we released this VPN server, the VPN server based on WireGuard, on the marketplace like a month ago
It's crazy
now.
how many people actually downloaded it. I don't know if they found out through it through the podcast, or they just searched it in the marketplace. But it's quite cool to see the subscriptions. Like we get a notification from the marketplace that somebody downloaded it. So that's pretty cool.
You can indeed just find it on the marketplace, I think.
Yeah, but from
But
that boiled another idea. Like.
exactly. So now that we actually have like authentication, integration with ORDC, we are building like provisioning. We have a front end. Okay, we did this for a VPN, so we can like control a VPN. But indeed, one of the other issues that our customers suffer with is indeed this logging problem. So our second idea is actually to have a second product based on like roughly the same code, but remove the VPN code. Is to ingest the logs, just put them on S3, have the ability to create an index on that. You just kind of copy the data on S3, but that could happen in the background. Nobody has to know that. So you only have to pay the S3 pricing to store your logs. Per index, like the storage would kind of double, but you can still like compress it and so on. Everything can be encrypted, just basically S3. And then you
The
can
cool
just
thing,
query it. So we would just make a front end like the way you query it in Datadog, it's not, I mean, to have all the options is a lot of work. Like, it's a crazy amount of work to have all the options, but just the basics, like, you just want to type in a word, just want to find it, and using an index like environment or something, that's not a lot of work. So
True.
that's something we're also going to work on and release on the marketplace, is just to have like an easy way to store logs in S3, and then the ability to read logs, and that will be the cheapest way, the most inexpensive way to do it, even if you have a lot of logs, because you will only have to pay S3 pricing plus instance pricing, and you can have a very small instance if you don't want to have to search logs, a lot bigger instance if you don't have to have more logs.
Yeah, and also the S3 API is like used by a lot of other products as well, like in other cloud vendors as well. So it's interesting to see how that would work with the like on-prem, for example, Minio, when people use Minio and stuff like that. So it's definitely something
Yeah,
that we
Wasabi as well. Wasabi
Sabi,
as an
yeah.
alternative.
That is also it's
Yeah.
super cheap actually. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's
Yeah, so the thing with the logging is sending away traffic from AWS is quite expensive, so that's what you don't want to do.
No,
So you want
exactly.
to keep it in AWS. So you don't really want to send it away to a third party. You just want to keep it in AWS because that's the most cost-effective way. And that's also what we tell our customers always, right? We tell our customers, like, if you want to store your data in the most inexpensive way, just look at S3, look at the tiers, and start from there. You want more latency, go to the kind of different products, which can give you lower latency, ability to just get the records very quickly, like DynamoDB. But you pay for it. And if you just want to store data, and you don't want to access it that much, then S3 is great. Then indeed, you have them the cost of latency to get it. And maybe it's in a big file. You have to download the big file first and look for it. But that's the most inexpensive way to store data on
Yeah,
AWS.
exactly.
Yeah. Because there are some gotchas that we also didn't mention, is that, okay, you have CloudWatch, but you're not happy with CloudWatch. You want your metrics in a different spot. So then you end up with a Datadog a lot of times, and you enable an integration to get all your metrics in Datadog, because you want to now make a dashboard in Datadog. You want to see the logs in Datadog and then match everything together. And then the next issue that a lot of our customers experience is the API request on CloudWatch that costs a lot of money. So now Datadog will do a lot of API requests to get this information from AWS into Datadog, which can also cost a lot of money. And then you pay. First, you
And
pay to get all the metrics in CloudWatch metrics, and then you pay to get them out of Cloud metrics. So that's just a lot of
also the delay between the two
oh
is
yeah
sometimes a
no
bit awful, because you're debugging something that happened like 5 minutes ago, but it's not yet in Datadog, and that sometimes sucks as well, because you're facing an outage, and then you have to wait 5 minutes before like the actual metrics and logs and everything. I think it wasn't like the minimum latency or something like that that they guarantee, but that's a long time to be sitting around and waiting for some metrics, and then you have to pay a lot of them. But it's like you said, when you ship data out of AWS, it can become expensive,
Yeah, but these
which
are just
kind of
API
makes sense.
calls. So
Exactly.
they it's if you would send the logs out of AWS, you actually pay the
Egress, yeah.
external egress traffic. But just the API calls, you pay for the API call, not for egress traffic.
No, exactly. Yeah, true, true, true.
But they both cost money. So there's no way of getting information out of AWS. Although I've seen people doing trickery. You can let's say that you have a security group, so you change the description of your security group into a string, and then you read it. Well, now you just got for free information out of AWS, because you can have a process writing a description and you're gonna get it for free, right? I read it somewhere. Like, I don't know if people
Exactly,
are re
exactly.
really doing that, but there are ways. Like, their API calls are for free, so just put some information in the description of a resource and then get it out like that. It's gonna take a long time.
Disclaimer, do not recommend.
Exactly. But Datadog is a really cool tool, right? I mean, it's just cool, but it is super expensive. So I don't like I don't see any people always start like, okay, I want everything in Datadog, but then often
They get a
they start
bill.
splitting off. Yeah, they get a bill
Yeah.
and okay, actually I only want this in Datadog and this not in Datadog. But I'm sure the enterprises use it. Like you once you use Datadog, as an enterprise, you are an
It's a
employee,
super
often
nice
mostly your
tool.
costs.
But for a lot of our startup clientele, it's just too expensive. For what it's worth, because there are alternatives, like
But you have like metrics logging, and then you have APM. APM is tracing, application performance logging, and those tracing can also be really interesting. So I would say like metrics can be really expensive. But okay, let's say you want to keep metrics in ALS. Logging, interesting, can still get really expensive. But if you don't have a lot of logs, it's interesting to have it in Datadog. You just send it. You don't really have latency because you just ship directly your logs from, like, say, a container directly to Datadog. And then you can match them with your tracing. So if you then use the integration within your app of to have the Datadog APM, then you can see the traces and you can match, like, oh, there's a what error 500 happened to my application? How does it link with like what was sent back to the client? But how does it link in the logs that I actually also put something in the logs? And there's also
That's
an
okay.
ALS alternative for that, which is
X-ray.
X-ray. No, X-ray. No, X-ray. So you can still do
Singular.
everything in ALS. So if you don't
Only
mind
one
having
ray.
like, yeah, if you don't mind having like the I would say crappy UI that most people say developers say it's a crappy UI. Okay, if you don't mind
Yeah.
have the like less UI, then you can get away with CloudWatch metrics, CloudWatch logs, and CloudWatch X-ray, and then you have everything there.
Yep,
So that, I think
absolutely.
that's like if we build like a small application, like some infrastructure info application, that's how we integrate it, right? We integrate it with the ALS tooling because that's just the cheapest, that's just the least of overheads, and you kind of just learn how to work with it. It's not the best, but you can still find your logs, you can still find your traces, you can still find your metrics, and it
It
all
does
works
exactly the same thing, and for the
kind of.
majority of like startups and stuff like that, like in that segment, it's more than sufficient, and especially at that price point, like just paying a couple grand, like a month just to have a fancy UI. Yeah, it depends, obviously. If it really saves you a lot of time, it's probably worth it, but like there are alternatives. That can reduce that pain every month.
Our best advice would be the tooling that doesn't exist yet that we are going to create.
Exactly. So keep posted.
Like
Well,
in the next podcast, I'll be like, it's more difficult than we thought.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was, but then we can talk about the challenges and so that's really good. I think
Yeah, I
that
think we, yeah. Do we still, did we forget something?
probably a thousand things, right? But like for the majority of what the question entailed, let me put it that way, I think that we already gave the advice that we would give our clients. So not sure if there is
Yeah, I think
anything else.
the moral of the story is have billing alerts. Check your billing on Datadog, check your
True,
billing
true.
on ALS. Because like you wouldn't think that you will spend so much on metrics, on logging and tracing, just start with the application. But then like after a couple of months, you like when once you start having users and you have more logs, metrics and tracing, like what am I doing wrong that this actually costs so much money, right? So there's
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
there's a lot of kind of intricacies with the ALS build that you have to really like, okay, let me now look at this service. And then you see like the API calls that you pay money for. Okay, why am I paying for like put metric or like putting logs, storing logs, because you actually always pay on ALS to write some information, like the push request and then to store the information. Right. So if you write a lot of logs, but you have a very short retention, let's say one day, but you still write a terabyte, you still will have high bill, even though you wrote 1 terabyte because you sent the 1 terabyte. And then when you at some point wrote a lot of information and you have a long retention, then you just then you pay a lot for storage. So there are a
Yeah.
lot of kind of dimensions to look at, and that's for every service. It's not only for logs. It comes back, like for example, for S3, right? For S3, there was this guy that I read about that was paying for requests of an error. Have
Yeah, the
you read
error page.
that?
Yeah,
You
exactly.
see, so if someone just fetches your error page, okay, now it's fixed, right? But this is an example. You also pay. You also pay. So if you go to the billing, it's not only about this is what I'm storing. So like S3, okay, this is the price per gigabyte. So I pay this. No, price per gigabyte for storage. And then let's talk about requests, because these requests is like, for example, you sometimes see I pay dot zero 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 or something for 1 million requests, and then it looks like, oh, it's like nothing, and suddenly you have 1 million requests every hour somehow, and
It's in the
then
free
suddenly it's a lot
tier
of
is
money.
more than sufficient for me. I will get by very, very long with that, and then yeah, no,
I
true.
always see stories. Sorry, I always see stories now. Like, I just built my app on AWS. Why is it already costing me $400 per month? You know, I see it all the time now. Like,
But all those
it's
small
true.
gotchas, they all add up as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you have a Net Gateway. Ah, well, you want Net Gateway in multiple AZs? Ah, well, that
Yeah,
adds.
it's not like a Lightsail or DigitalOcean setup, right? Like there's so many intricacies that you have to take care of and know before you do that. Like because it can be quite advanced really quickly, but it's also the power of AWS, right? So.
Yeah, but for example, like you did a deployment a couple of years ago, you say a small deployment, you would say, I'm just going to assign a public IP address. I don't need a net gateway because otherwise I need two net gateways,
Yeah,
two
multiple
availability zones.
zone.
That's going to
Yep.
cost me, I don't know, what, 120 per month just for net gateways. I don't know exactly the price, depending on the region and so on. But it starts charging for IP addresses.
Yeah.
So there's really
Like
no way
same
around
thing.
it, you know?
Nope,
Yeah,
nope,
so
nope.
now you pay for a public IP address. Then you deploy application, right? You don't touch it for 2 3 years. Oh, now your Postgres is out of date. Oh, here an extra 100 per month or whatever, you know. You
Yeah,
see,
the end of
so
life fee.
they're starting to get they're more gotchas now, even when they used to be,
True.
because I think it is more complex. It is get even than the past because of these just small things that you would think, like, how can this impact us? Probably not. And then it actually impacts you if you like see the all the situations of the clients, like the public IP addresses. First, we're like, this shouldn't impact us. And then you think, like, oh wait, now every si single small deployment gets more expensive. So actually it impacts us or our customers. And then there are customers with a lot of public IP addresses. So
Oh, yeah.
And that's just one
Totally.
example, you know. You see, and every couple of months there is something new. I think we used to be happy when there was something new, like, oh, there's a new feature, and now it's like something new is like, oh, there is
It's
some price increase in some way.
and also it's very
Yeah.
marketing driven as well, right? Like latest trends and which makes sense obviously, but like the price of some of those services then becomes really expensive because they're so easy to integrate and you don't have to do a lot of engineering yourself. You just get an API and just use that and then build an app on that and it goes really quickly, really fast.
Yeah,
But
especially now with the GPUs we have on our to do in our app of episodes. Like, we'll want to talk about the GPUs in AWS. So one of the things is also like, okay, GPU, if you need GPU now for generative AI or something like that, suddenly price goes up. I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely.
like of your application. Yeah.
It's a good idea
So
to do that in the next episode to talk about that as well.
yeah, it's on our list. We have a long
Yeah.
list of things to talk about.
Always feel
but
free to put suggestions in the comments or something like that if you want us to talk about something or get our pick our brain on something. Always let us know. It's always
yeah,
good to have
suggestions are
some
really good.
inspiration because we're so hands-on and into things, it's sometimes easy to lose track of what people like are wondering and have questions about. So always feel free to ask us. I think we can conclude here, Edward. So thanks for the talk, and we'll see each other soon.
All right.
All right,
See
take
ya.
care. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.